You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Coming up, Gordon Evans talks with Citizens Research Council of Michigan President Eric Lufer. The Public Policy Group has analyzed ballot proposals to change Michigan's redistricting process and to enshrine certain voter rights into the state constitution. But first, I talked to Charlene Carruthers, who headlines the November 2nd Kalamazoo Summit on Racism. As the founding national director of the Black Youth Project 100, known for short as BYP 100, Carruthers trains 18 to 35-year-olds on how to affect social change. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
There's many ways to describe you. I've seen a very extensive bio on your website. How do you describe yourself and your work?
Oh, that's such a great question. I am a writer, a community organizer, and a political strategist who knows just as much, if not more, about food as I know about politics. I think that's how I describe myself.
I know on your website you represent lots of different communities. You describe yourself as a Black queer feminist. But the audience I'd like to start with is the one where you are the national founding director of, and that's the Black Youth Project 100. Very intriguing.
Yes.
I love the pictures of your staff on the website. They look so hip. You just want to talk to those people. They just look amazing. I know your organization was started in 2013. Can you tell us a little bit about that work and what you all do?
Yes, I am the founding national director of BYP 100, which means that for the past 5 years, I have helped lead our organization, which started in the aftermath of the non-guilty verdict that the killer of Trayvon Martin received in July 13th, 2013. And so BYP 100 is a national organization of young Black activists who work every single day across the country in our various chapters on issues of racial, economic, gender, and LGBTQ justice. So be it a campaign in Washington, D.C. to decriminalize sex work, or our work here in Chicago to hold the city accountable and the Chicago Police Department accountable for the gross misconduct and also misuse of funds in our city's budget to actually invest those dollars in our communities. That's the work that we do. And of course, it varies from region to region, but what ties us together is a deep commitment to the leadership development of young Black people and organizing through what we call a Black queer feminist lens. And what that is, simply put by Fannie Lou Hamer, is that nobody is free until everybody is free. And so we work in the radical Black feminist and radical Black LGBTQ traditions of moving those who have been historically marginalized to the center of our work, and even doing our work in radically different ways that upends various systems of oppression.
You did speak in Kalamazoo just last month in September, and you shared the stage with Angela Davis. What stood out was that repartee between the two of you. It looked like a kind of a mm-hmm. mutual respect that she seemed mm-hmm. to have for you and you seemed to have for her. I was very intrigued by that, and it made me think of someone that I interviewed that's kind of senior in the civil rights movement, the late Julian Bond. And what struck me when I saw you is just the great knowledge that you seem to have in regards to not only just present movements, but even in the past. And I remember Julian Bond saying something about how little people know about their history, especially young people, but even adults today. Did you always know about history?
Of course not. No, I didn't always know about history. I had to learn it. I had to read it. I had to actually have people who taught me history. I read a lot. I've read a lot since I was a child. And so my knowledge of things is reflective of years of watching documentaries, watching PBS. I was one of those kids who would watch PBS and History Channel all day, all the time. And also, I've had amazing history teachers in high school. And then additionally, a lot of the history that I know about Black social movements, I didn't just learn in college. I learned them after I was out of school and doing a lot of self-study and and frankly, just listening to the people who made the history. So being able to be in rooms with folks like Hollis Watkins and Jeribu Hill and Ruby Sales, Makani Simba, Kai Lumumba, just so many people who were, Barbara Ransby, people who were there when it happened, allows me to have a deeper and a richer understanding of history. But no, and it's not the responsibility of children or young people to teach themselves. That's our responsibility. So when we see a young person who so-called doesn't know their history, that's our fault. That's our responsibility to make sure that they learn it. No one comes out, you know, from birth knowing history. Everyone has to learn it.
This is West Southwest on WMUK. We're talking to Kalamazoo Summit on Racism keynote speaker Charlene Carruthers, who leads a national group training youth to be activists. Julie Mon also mentioned how even adults don't quite know their history. Mm-hmm. So if people had to catch up, because this is the state of affairs right now, what mm-hmm. two or three resources would you direct people to get a quick understanding mm-hmm. of their history? Because I noticed you were flowing not only just in domestic history, you knew issues mm-hmm. even abroad in regards to Palestine. I remember a question came from the floor in regards to that.
Well, that's a tough question. Yeah, I'll start with my own book. My own book, Unapologetic, A Black Queer and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movements, does a good survey of critical moments in our history that are oftentimes not talked about. And they're not just talked about because people don't know, but they're not talked about because they tend to uplift people who have even been marginalized within our movements. And they tell some uncomfortable truths about who has led and who's been leading. A documentary that I think is a good starting point, it's not the final destination, it's something that was formative for me, is, of course, the Eyes on the Prize series. It's a really important series if folks want to see something that's visual. Also, there are other documentaries. I want to lift up an edited volume by Beverly Gashefstall, Dr. Beverly Gashefstall, Words of Fire. It is an amazing Black feminist anthology that has writing from so many people across so many parts of movement. I think that's another really important book. Oh, and then another documentary that's also a book is Slavery by Another Name that folks should check out. For international resources, I really enjoy watching documentaries as well. There's one documentary called Amanla that talks about the music and the artistry of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. And lastly, I talk about Thomas Sankara and the movement for independence in Burkina Faso. And there's a documentary about Thomas Sankara on YouTube. You can just look it up. It's not even super long, but it's a great resource.
Back to, you were talking about people don't know certain communities that had a hand in history. And Julian Bond was talking about, in my interview with him, about how the March on Washington in 1963 for jobs and freedom was organized by a gay man, Bayard Rustin. Does your book mention that?
Yeah, so I talk about Bayard Rustin in Unapologetic. And specifically, when we think about him and we think about other people who are Black and woman, Black and queer, Black and transgender, we don't want to just be inclusive of them in history just for the sake of being inclusive. The reason why we talk about Bayard Rustin is because he was one of the primary architects of the March on Washington. It's because he used various strategies, right? He was arrested several times in attempts to desegregate buses. He was also a pacifist. And to be honest, there are many of things that Bayard Rustin believed in that I don't believe in, like that I disagree with. The point of studying history isn't to agree with everyone. The point of lifting up people's stories isn't just to agree with them, but to really look at the strategies that they deploy and how we can learn from those strategies to make our work stronger. The work that people have done to elevate his legacy hasn't been so everyone can agree with him, but it's one to say that this leader has been disappeared because of his identity and the relationships that he had with people, and that we miss so much of his work when we ignore that and when it's intentionally buried.
Some other things that Julian Bond was talking about, and I don't think people fully appreciate, is that some of those people that were very involved with the civil rights movement, they were students. These were young people, mm-hmm. and very much the work that you're doing right now, that it was young people that really put their lives on the line to make things happen. That's number one. Number two, earlier you were talking about how your organization uses different tactics. And Julian Bond was saying how some of the old tactics still work, sit-ins, different kinds of civil disobedience, but also some newer ones. What tactics that you wish maybe more people use to provoke change?
Well, one, strong movements are built through strong leaders. And in the tradition of Ella Baker, we invest a lot of our resources in leadership development. So that means trainings, that means direct support to our members, that means a lot of meetings, a lot of conversations. And that is a deep part of our strategy because we are of the belief that no single person in our organization knows everything or can do everything or should do everything, because quite frankly, that leads to high rates of burnout in our movement when people have too much work. The other tactic that I think is really important to be a part of an overall strategy, or I should say strategy, to have a strategic communications strategy. Communications is super, super important. And I wish that not only that more people use strategic communications.
Within a movement, you mean?
Within a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Within a movement.
To get their word out, not just internal communication, but you mean external.
Right. And to get the word out, but also the words that are used, the messaging, the different tactics that are used to communicate with people, both online and offline, is really, really important. But all too often, we don't have the resources to deploy strategic communications plans. And what does that mean? I mean, how we tell our stories. If we're using social media, but what are we saying on social media? How do we reach traditional media outlets? And what are we saying when we get there? And who are the messengers? All of those things matter. And then I'm a believer in direct action. Direct action has been a critical tactic in every single advance that we've made as a movement, be it mass marches, be it other forms of civil disobedience, be it highway shutdowns. All of those things have helped move the needle forward and transform this country. And then lastly, I think it's really important for people to do intergenerational work. We are a young people's organization, and our work has always been intergenerational. It's not ever just been 18 to 35-year-olds informing our work. We lead our work. At the same time, it's always been informed by people who are of different generations.
What is your topic at the Summit on Racism?
I'm really looking forward to the summit. And what I am looking forward to talking about is how we're living in a moment where we actually can't afford to be in the middle, and that we have to make a choice, because the sides that exist right now are, we're deeply, deeply polarized. And we have a very clear group of interests in this country that actually say that white supremacy is okay, that it should be, and patriarchy is okay, and capitalism is okay. And it's not enough to just simply talk about race. It is deeply connected to patriarchy and capitalism. And so, or classism. And so I intend to talk about those things, make those connections, and make it plain and clear about how we have a tradition in this country that is Black, that is radical, that is feminist, that is queer, that has been at the cutting edge of so much of the transformation and the progress that we've made in this country.
The Kalamazoo Summit on Racism is on Friday, November 2nd, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Borges Medical Center's Lawrence Education Center. For more information, visit wmuk.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.